The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, 14 years of Bob Zimmerman watching the rise of commercial space. 14 years of your donations and subscriptions, most generous to sustain Bob in his analysis of where we're going. We started with big space in the 20th century. We're at commercial space in the 21st, and spaceports are breaking out all over, as Bob reports. We begin, however, in the spaceport that is dear to everyone following Low Earth Orbit and the Moon and Mars, that is SpaceX at Boca Chica. And so if you want to stay abreast of this, you need to listen to Bob analyze what looks to be official, the FAA, an environmental assessment of Boca Chica. Is it adequate? What are the issues? Because this has come up before. Bob, 14 years, this is the final day of your fundraiser for July 2024, and Boca Chica and SpaceX look to be closer to launch. Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. Well, we'll see. This is an interesting thing. The FAA, about a month ago, made it clear that it was doing a new environmental assessment of the Boca Chica Spaceport site that SpaceX uses to launch and test its Starship and Super Heavy. And they announced there were meetings, and that meant there was, it sounded like they were doing a complete environmental reassessment, environmental impact statement, which could add years delay before they could proceed. That has turned out to be not as bad as it sounds, though there's still problems. What the FAA did this week is it released its proposed environmental assessment of Boca Chica, and this is the FAA's assessment of the impact that would occur if SpaceX's request to increase the number of Starship Super Heavy launches at Boca Chica from 5 per year to 25. And the FAA was assessing what would be the consequences of letting SpaceX increase to that number of launches. And if you read this this proposed assessment, generally the FAA is saying it won't matter and that SpaceX should be allowed to go on. However, the assessment has not been approved yet, but the FAA has made it clear it is willing to say yes to SpaceX to go ahead. That's the first thing you get from this assessment when I read it. The second thing I got is that, of course, the other agencies are listed have to approve as well, and that includes the National Park Service, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the Coast Guard, and NASA. NASA is going to say yes. They're not going to say no. They need a Starship Super Heavy for Artemis. The Coast Guard's concern has to do with range operations and clearing the ocean underneath the launch, and they're not going to have any major objections. They just have to handle that and manage that. But both Park Service and Fish and Wildlife, the environmental agencies, they objected previously, and they are almost certainly going to cause problems here, and we'll just have to wait and see how much problems they cause. The third thing that I got out of this report was it described in detail what SpaceX's revised proposals are about what it wants to do. And not only does it want to increase the number of launches from Boca Chica to 25 per year, but they also talked about how they would bring Starship and Super Heavy back. And they say up until they've gotten landings worked out, they're going to come down either in the Indian Ocean or in the Pacific east of Hawaii. And those are intended as soft landings above the ocean or crashes as they're doing tests. However, this report talked about doing drone ship landings for Super Heavy and Starship in the ocean. And that is a change. This is something SpaceX had talked about way back when, but then dropped it. When they said they were going to have Super Heavy come back to the tower and be grabbed by the chopsticks, it was for the express purpose of having to leave off legs on Super Heavy. It doesn't have legs. When it wants to come down, it has to be grabbed by the chopsticks. So this suggestion that Super Heavy is going to land on a drone ship suggests that that drone ship's got to be something quite spectacular. It's going to need some kind of tower with chopsticks. Now, not all of this is very preliminary, but that's an interesting development. Starship landing on a drone ship is surprising. I mean, it would need a bigger drone ship than Falcon needs, but not that much bigger. It has legs, and it's designed to land the same way as Falcon 9 does, in a sense. So that's not such a big surprise. But the idea of Super Heavy landing on a drone ship was quite interesting, John. So that's the update. It's more positive than negative, but there are unknowns that are negative, and we have to wait and see.
Details, Bob. I want to go over something that you've dealt with before, but I want to review it. The choice of Boca Chica, is that now considered a mistake? It was the state of Texas. It looked like it was going to be agreeable, but it's run into delays, and challenges because of, and you just elicited some of them. Would it have been wiser to choose another place where they don't run into the FAA? I'm thinking of Kwajalein, for example, where they first tested the Falcon 9 out in the Pacific.
No, it would make no difference, John. These environmental impact statements are political in nature, and they are being imposed on SpaceX for political reasons, as far as I'm concerned. And they would have been imposed no matter what location they had chosen. Boca Chica is an excellent spot because it's right on the Gulf. They launch. They don't have any landing problems at all. It's all over the ocean. It fits the mission plans of what Starship and Super Heavy want to do and the kind of orbits they're going to want to go into. So it's a very good location in that sense. It's an area that was depressed, so the real estate was cheap. It's an area that is enthusiastic about SpaceX because it's bringing so much business and prosperity to what was a depressed region. So no, they had gone to other places. They would have had the same problem. And I'll use as an example Florida. SpaceX has been launching in Florida. Rockets have been launching in Florida, including the Saturn V, since the dawn of the space age. SpaceX suddenly wants to do Starship Super Heavy there, and suddenly the FAA and the bureaucracy is demanding lots of impact statements. And that's something that was unheard of before. So there's a political game going on. Right. It wouldn't matter where they launched from.
One other possibility. The Europeans went to French Guiana. Would Guiana be a possibility for SpaceX to get out of the region?
No, it makes no difference. You got to understand, it's an American company. It comes under the same regulatory framework. No matter, and this is a question that comes up on my website all the time. Comment and say, why doesn't space just leave the U.S. and go elsewhere? This is equivalent to a missile program in a sense. It falls under very strict State Department and federal regulations. SpaceX, no matter where it launches, it's going to face the same regulatory burdens. And mission creep, the bureaucracy would impose those restrictions, environmental restrictions, even if it's in a foreign country. They would say, we got to make sure that SpaceX is not damaging the environment. So nope, it makes no difference at all. It doesn't get them out of the red.
Your opinion is then that the FAA would reach into Guyana, a foreign nation, and impose,
yes,
and ask permission to inspect SpaceX's launches?
It would. They do this right now. If any Rocket Labs launches out of New Zealand, the FAA has to give a launch license and approvals. And they don't push as hard for environmental impact statements, but with SpaceX and the politics involved, I'm sure that would happen. It's the nature of the game. And State Department would get involved anyway because it's now suddenly issues of ITAR regulations get involved in State Department rules on foreign technology and foreign nations. So no, and once again, the politics, it would not be the same with other companies, and Rocket Lab is an example, but it would, with SpaceX, I would expect a heavy push to control.
One more try. Flags of ships are all associated with countries we've hardly ever heard of. And my understanding always was they paid the right amount of money and they were free of interference from the government. Is that possible for launches in the future?
Not here, no. Once again, it's the same thing. The way the laws are written when it comes to rocketry, the administrative state has been given powers that it has expanded over the years that apply to a launch no matter where it is. So, no, there's no way to get around this. Elon Musk is very aware of these problems. So he plays pressure games against the bureaucracies themselves and the politics. He plays the politics. He has to.
All right. I keep trying because the logic of it is defeating. And
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, that's where our administrative state and our government is right now. It doesn't matter that we have one of the most successful companies in the world, in the United States ever, and in space for sure. It doesn't matter that it's bringing billions of new jobs and the prosperity to the nation and innovation and a whole new industry in space. It doesn't matter. The administrative state wants to squelch it or acts to squelch it or interferes with it at a minimum in ways that are not beneficial to anybody. And it's unfortunate.
The U.S. Senate is satisfied with its space launch system, which is, I believe, comfortably tucked away for the next time they need it, is now giving cash out. To whom?
Oh, okay. This is, you've jumped ahead a few stories, John, but that's okay. The Senate, NASA had announced that it was going to cancel funding for the Chandra Space Telescope and to another project that had to do with a demo mission to refuel an unmanned satellite, robotic refueling. And Congress, the Senate has come back and said, no, we're not going to have any cuts. You're going to spend money on all those projects. And I talked about this. Basically, this is a technique NASA has used for decades, and it's always worked because our Congress is weak and willing to spend money it doesn't have because it's not its money. NASA cancels a program knowing that that's going to get Congress upset, and Congress is then going to immediately add the money back in. And NASA does this to get the money back in. It did this with Hubble, by the way, exactly the same story. And it did it with Webb, and it's done this game hundreds of times. And so they did it this time, and I pointed out how this is the result we're going to get, and it's exactly what we got from the result we got from the Senate. It is now issued Senate Appropriations Committee, a subcommittee there has issued a report stating that NASA will not cut the budget from Chandra. It's going to maintain the budget for NASA Hubble. It's going to reinstitute this robotic refueling mission, which has cost $1 billion and has not been completed yet after more than a decade. And right now is irrelevant because private enterprise is already doing this work and doing it well. The demo won't teach us anything. It's a waste of money. That's why NASA cut it. But the Congress has forced it in, and Congress doesn't really care that we've got, what is it, a $35 trillion deficit. We're paying like $1.5 trillion each year in interest. If Senate doesn't like the cuts to Chandra, then it should put the money back in, but cut something else at NASA. And there are things at NASA you could cut, such as SLS. But they just, if the money grows on trees and they spend it as if it's water.
I went to the Senate program because it was the government again. We'll go back to SpaceX now. This is SpaceX.
Okay.
SpaceX launches and SpaceX cargo. What about it?
Yes. Last few years, there have been several different stories about how debris from the service module of Dragon capsules, specifically the cargo capsules, but not always, had actually reached the ground, crashed in on land in Canada, in Florida, and elsewhere. And so recently, with this happening more than once, NASA and SpaceX agreed they had to reconsider how they deorbit Dragon capsules. And what SpaceX has now announced is that they're going to probably move all splashdowns, manned and cargo, to the Pacific. They've been having them come back to the Gulf of Mexico, but it appears that because of that, debris could land in the United States. And so if they have the splashdowns in the Pacific, the debris would come down in the Pacific and away from habitable areas. And so they made this decision. They should start doing splashdowns in the Pacific as early as February of 25, which is the next manned mission that will come back after the one that's returning in the near future. And so that's their plan. It makes sense. It's a good choice.
We're going to ISS. Boeing has completed static hot fire engine burns at ISS. I'm presuming this is Starliner. Is it okay?
Yes, they did. They said they were going to do additional hot fire tests on ISS with Starliner docked. They did the full performances. Everything confirmed the data they had gotten from the ground static fire tests. And so they're probably right now very comfortable with the idea of setting a date for return. And this is what I had predicted. They're going to have a review sometime this week by NASA and the company. on the situation. And we should, I think, before the end of this week, have them announce a return date. And I'm expecting that return date to be in the first 2 weeks of August, which is essentially what I've been predicting for about a month now. And they benefit from having an extended Starliner in space for as long as they have.
And Bob, Starliner is still a viable alternative to Dragon. Nothing has been.
Oh, that's a good question. I have no idea on that part. They want to get the astronauts back, and they want to figure out what caused this problem. And Boeing says now it's figured it out and it can fix it. NASA is almost certainly going to accept Starliner for additional crew missions down the road. I'm not sure anybody else will want to buy tickets on Starliner, and I'm not sure Boeing is going to be very enthusiastic about extending or trying to sell Starliner down the road. If they have successes, they might be able to market it, but if they're going to have a problem.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black, 14 years of analysis, watching the rise of commercial space, private space, and the stepping aside of big space. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.